Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Today joining us are two members of the Global Ethics and Compliance team at Dell. We have Paige Motes, who is Director of Strategic Programs Office there. Paige, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And also we have Dale Skivington, who is the Vice President of Compliance.
Thanks, Adam, for inviting us to the session.
Happy to have you both. First, the topic of our conversation today is going to be compliance and ethics when you're merging two cultures together. And you two are coming off of just an enormous exercise in that. So first, can you give me the size and scope of the companies before this acquisition by Dell of EMC?
Sure. So Dell and EMC, prior to the merger, were both roughly about the same size. They both had around 70,000 employees, give or take. EMC was actually publicly traded. Dell was a privately held organization. Dell had about 110,000 employees prior to the merger. But after the September 2016 merger, and after Dell at about the same time divested two of our own business units, we were combined to the tune of about 140,000 employees around the world, and about at that time, $65 billion in revenues. So pretty large.
That sounds pretty substantial. How similar were the companies in their approach to ethics and compliance?
So we were really fortunate that both companies had a strong cultural, ethical disposition. And we particularly, noted that when we compared our codes of conduct and worked on the integration of the codes of conduct. Dell had a very large B2C organization, and of course, EMC was largely B2B. So our focus with respect to how we rolled out compliance differed in some ways in terms of the way we commercialized our programs, but both had strong policies, strong controls, and the integration went very, very smoothly.
Hey, you just mentioned that you took a look at the code of conduct as one of the first things you did. How overall did you go about planning for the integration of EMC into Dell?
I'll let Dale talk in just a minute a little bit more about kind of the specifics within the compliance and ethics realm. But, I think when we went into the planning of the integration, the very first thing that had to happen is that Dale had to be set up for success for the broader business integration. So, the company had gone through a number of mergers and acquisitions over the previous years. So we had built a pretty robust integration office. But, given the sheer size and scope of this particular merger, we heavily increased the oversight and, of course, resources for what would be then known for this merger as the Value Creation Integration Office, the VCIO. And that particular office tapped senior executives from each of the key business units and functions around the company. Legal was clearly one. And so our legal integration work stream from the start was meant to include representation from all parts of the legal department. That led our planning. So the Ethics and Compliance Office was part of that work stream. Basically, those representatives had to, routinely provide information, gather information to drive decisions, turn those decisions into actions. And that solid, accountable foundation is really what we needed to start us on the road to success. Dale can mention a little bit more about our more compliance and ethics integrated planning arm, I think, that also helped us be very successful.
Thanks, Paige. We were really lucky that we had stood up several years ago the Global Compliance Forum. And the Global Compliance Forum is comprised of all the compliance leads at Dell. So there's about 20 identified program owners for the various compliance portfolios, whether it be trade compliance or anti-corruption or privacy, you name it. We have a designated leader. And we were able to use that framework, that compliance forum, to drive the deliverables for the acquisition. We also have a designated legal lead who reports to me, the chief compliance counsel role. And she was able to coordinate the various program leads in terms of driving the deliverables and providing a one-stop shop for the legal support.
You mentioned, as you talked about the various leads, I think one thing that bears noting is that you, at Dell, ethics and compliance are separate. Why did the company decide to take that approach to things?
So I would say we have designated leads, but we're not really separate. So Mike McLaughlin is the chief ethics and compliance officer for the company. He reports the ethics to the audit committee of the board, as well as has regular meetings with Michael Dell, and of course reports to the general counsel as well. Under Mike, we have pillars in the ethics and compliance organization. So we have a designated pillar that focuses on ethics, whether it's investigations, strategic program office, which is Paige's office, which deals with tone and setting the right strategy for driving ethics and compliance throughout the organization. And then my group that handles the programs for compliance, so the substantive programs of privacy, anti-corruption, gifts and entertainment, for example. And then we also have a group that reports up to Mike that does employment law. So that's our structure, and it facilitates a very focused but collaborative approach to ethics and compliance.
Oh, okay. So, you know, and you mentioned that, you know, that created a great focused and collaborative approach to compliance and ethics. What were some of the other advantages you found to your program as you went through this whole merger?
Well, I would say that one of the things that Dale just mentioned, which is we work very collaboratively, is that although, you know, a merger like this, certainly, you know, you have to all be steering in the same direction, but that wasn't new for us. So this GCF, this Global Compliance Forum organization, we've been having to steer in the same direction for quite some time. So we've had to create program maturity, capability, we've had to work together for enterprise risk assessment, et cetera. So it was very easy for, like Dale mentioned, for the Chief Compliance Counsel to work with the key leads for each of the compliance programs to operate in one direction and to be very crisp and clear about their priorities. And I would say on the ethics side, the same. It was easy to partner to understand where our priorities needed to be and what those key activities should be. And I would say that from a process standpoint, you know, one of the things that the Legal Integration Foundation gave us was a weekly process by which we had to meet with the legal integration head. And a result of that was making sure that on a weekly basis, we were having the right conversations on the ethics work stream and the compliance work stream, but also partnering together to make sure that we were rolling up on a weekly basis just the most important things that got us to day one of the merger. Then as we were approaching day one, the first 30 days post-merger, and then finally, you know, the first 90 days post-merger, because those were the most critical things. And we had to have a lens to kind of carving out those things that were important, but not important enough to make it to that first three buckets. And so it allowed us to kind of cut out the noise. And then once we got past the first 90 days, then we were able to open up and say what else needs to be done and what's the right time frame. And much of that we were able to accomplish within the first year, which our anniversary was just in September. So we were very lucky that our ability to bucket things into that day one, 30 days, 90 days bucket, and having a weekly cadence to, you know, be held accountable to that and really be pushed back on if someone felt something was not the right set. The other thing that we did is we were able to take those priorities and turn them into actions. That one of those actions was a quick start guide for the company. So on day one, we were already partnered with the CorpCom team to say, here are the key things that a new merged team member, you know, EMC and Dell come together team member needed to know about where to find policies, what policies ruled, what do we do about code, where do we go to escalate a question about a policy or a situation, where do I go to report a potential allegation of misconduct. All of that was created into a easy to access quick start guide that as just one example, was a way for her to take these actions and put them into something tangible for the team members.
And I think notably, it's also actionable, as you said, where people can go when they've got problems. So you started touching on how you handled the rollout. Are there other key aspects of it that you think made the program particularly successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the structured approach to holding everybody accountable for meeting the deliverables was key. But, you know, we all know the statistics about unsuccessful acquisitions, and largely they fail because of cultural issues. And
right.
What I think was the key to success for this acquisition, and it was a swimming success, was the fact that our culture is very collaborative at Dell, and we approach this as a collaborator with our newly acquired companies. We did not assume we had all the answers. We didn't assume that our policies and procedures were necessarily best. We stayed open-minded. We reviewed together with our new partners what might be the right answer for our companies going forward. And I think that approach really is what made this so successful.
That's great. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you talked about the big issue is culture is just hugely important. And the fact that you went in willing to learn, I'm sure, made things a lot easier. You know, it hasn't been too long now since the whole thing was completed. What advice would you give to compliance and ethics professionals for integrating, you know, their own when they're in a similar situation? I mean, obviously, you said, you know, keep an open mind, listen to how others are doing. Any other tips?
Well, I'll start, and Dale may have some other adds. I would say another tip is to not wait until you're potentially in an M&A situation to start thinking about what those priorities would be. I think Dale said it well when we mentioned the Global Compliance Forum. This wasn't something we asked people to go do for the first time. They were already very clear on what their priorities were. They were very clear as to what their challenges and obstacles were in the existing program. So it was very easy to bubble up what were the key things that needed to be looked at, examined, and prioritized against the new company that was coming in. So it allowed us to say, here's where we're having struggle. What about you? How do these things maybe fit together, or do we still have a gap? So I would say pre-planning, not because you're expecting a merger or acquisition, but because that's just the right thing to do, and being very deliberate in having those conversations on a routine basis and getting outside of yourself. So, you know, the head of trade compliance, as an example, rolls up a program and then other people, not just individuals on their team, are taking a look at their program and evaluating where they may have gaps that maybe they don't see themselves. That kind of cleansing activity is very healthy to have in advance. Dale, what would you add?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you covered it, Paige. I think having clear roles and responsibility, accountability, understanding where the compliance organization fits in on an M&A. We did do some role playing at GCF. With the M&A, we had the VCIO come in early and talk to us about our roles and responsibilities and what was planned. It was very clear what everybody needed to do to deliver a good result. And again, I think it's having the right people in those roles who will approach this with an open mind and, you know, not bring their ego first and their program first, but, you know, keep in mind what's good for the new combined company and the new mission and vision of the company and, work from there.
Well, and it sounds also like a heck of a lot of communication all the way throughout is really critically important. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you both.
But to do it in a structured way.
Exactly. Well, that's a great point to add. Well, thank you both for taking the time, and congratulations on making this all happen. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen in with us today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE, hoping we expanded your compliance perspectives.